How are you guys doing? Pretty good? Amen. Tired. I hear that. Tired. Some of our brothers. If Rose had $5 for every time you would be tired, she'd be rich. No, but God is good. We're glad that you guys are here. Some of you guys it's your first Sunday here. We are in the middle of a campaign. It's called the Rooted Campaign. We've been focusing on what it means to be connected with God, to find, number one, our connection with God, to find our connection with the church, and ultimately what our purpose is and what God is leading us to and how he's leading us as followers of Jesus Christ. And so we've been spending a lot of time just on the foundation. I always say it's like the root work. We talk about knowing who God is. We talk about how he speaks to us, how we can speak to him in prayer, and how we even tackled a tough sermon that about 2 weeks ago, which was why there's so much pain and suffering, right? That's a question that is a very valid question to say, like, man, if God is good, why do I see all this pain and suffering and even an evil in the world? And so we spent some time going through that very difficult challenge. But you know what we found out is that God is sovereign. He's still good, right? And so I encourage you, if you haven't checked out the website or if you're curious, you want to catch up, go to the website. All of the sermons are listed there. Last week, we focused on who the enemy was and how he operates and his tactics and how he's a liar, he's a deceiver, and he's an accuser. But we also focused to say, like, he's created. He's not on equivalent with God. He's already defeated, and we have victory in Jesus Christ. So we don't want to give him more credit than he deserves, but we do want to be aware of how he operates. And so this week, we're turning the corner a little bit. It's week 6 of the 10-week series that we're preaching. And today, the sermon is called, How Can I Make the Most of My Life? That's a very big question, huh? How can I make the most of my life? Because the reality of it, most people that you talk to, they're usually there's always the big questions of life. You guys know the big questions of life? Where do we come from? Where are we going when we die? Right? And what's the one in the middle? What am I here to do? My purpose. What brings meaning and significance to my existence, right? And so this is a very big, again, if you notice, the theme of Rooted is it's tackling some very big questions in life, and it provides us just the foundation of what the Bible says to each one of those big questions. So how can I make the most of my life? Now, let me tell you guys a little story. Because this one leads you, and you guys are going to catch on to it really quickly. Ultimately, we're going to follow the blueprint of how Jesus role modeled and how he gives us purpose in life. But I'm going to tell you guys a little story. There was a pastor who had a church, and he had a man that had been attending his church for about 10 years. 10 years, he's faithfully going to church. He was there all the time. But he would just go. There would be different ministry events. There'd be volunteer opportunities, and he would never show up. He would just kind of continue to be there. And the pastor one day approached him and said, hey, you know, you've been coming to church for a long time. You know, we've had this need. Why don't you, like, just step in and kind of help us out? You know, like the church, he was saying, is like a rowboat. And everybody has a row. You know, we're all called to do our part to build up the kingdom. And, you know, the guy says, well, you know, I'm here. I'm always here. I just sit in the back. He says, pastor, maybe I'm like the anchor of the boat. You know, maybe I'm the anchor. And he says, the pastor turns around and says, yeah, you might be. But the anchor is only good if it actually lifts something up and it's outside of the water. You know what I mean? Because if you're just there, you're kind of like, and he was being funny about it, you're kind of like dead weight. You're dragging us along, right? And so he said, okay, pastor, maybe I'll lift up the anchor right now and actually start doing something instead of just being dragged along the water. Amen? So there's a little picture to illustrate what that looks like, right? So oftentimes, you know, this is the picture of the church, honestly, right? Sometimes it feels like up at the top, you have the pastor, the pastor's wife, different people, and it's their job to, like, grow and bring everybody, and it's like, it's my job to build your faith, and it's our, does that seem, look, you guys seen that, right? That's not the way it's supposed to be, by the way. Let me just tell you guys. We will do that. We love you guys, but it's a lot easier, right? Let's go to the next slide. It's a lot easier, if that's the church body, if everybody is, like, ripped like these guys, right? Spiritually fit, like, whoa. You ever see these guys in the Olympics? It's kind of cool, right? I mean, they go like a mile and they're just like, whoa. I'd like to be that guy in the front that just says, row, row. I don't know what they do, right? But that's kind of cool. They're just like jamming on the water. But that's the way that the church, that's a good image of the church, right? That everybody has gifts, talents, and abilities that's meant to move the church forward and build his kingdom up. Not the previous one. The previous one is like, well, I'm here, you know, my attendance. Yes, we appreciate your attendance. We appreciate you guys being here. We appreciate you. Everybody, every member of the church has value and has a significant role to play. Let's go to the next one. We're hopefully, I mean, we probably look a little more like that, you know. We're not as ripped. We're, I'm just being honest, guys. Come on. I'm not trying to like fat shame anybody or nothing like that. Calm down. We love you guys. I thought this was a better representation of like, it's kind of more what we look like, you know. Although I was telling Steve, we need some more brown faces in that picture, but I couldn't find another one. You know, that's the truth. But do you guys see the analogy? You see the picture? That it's a lot easier, certainly, if everybody is rowing and doing their part. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to, because when everybody's rowing, doesn't it go faster? When everybody's doing their part to pull, right? And it's not about us. It's about building the kingdom for his honor and for his glory. So, amen. So next time, well, here's a challenge then. Let's get ripped, guys. And then we'll take our picture and we'll put it up there. Amen? All right. All right, let's go back to it. So today's message is that how do you make the most out of our life? And that's the sermon illustration, is that in the rowboat, the church body, we need everybody to pick up their oar, right? We don't need to be an anchor. Just saying. Anchors are good, but not for the church. Amen? Everyone has a role to play, and it makes it a lot smoother when everybody's doing their part. And here's the thing, right? There's gifts, talents, and abilities that only you can bring into fruition in this church. Not everybody, we don't all have it. We don't all have it. That's why we need the Holy Spirit comes in to gift every one of us differently and uniquely. And that's why your purpose matters, right? Your purpose and your contribution to building the kingdom is so important. Because here's the reality of it. There's some folks that only you will be able to reach with the gospel. Does that make you understand that? Because there's people that you know who don't know Jesus. There's people that you know that need Jesus in their life. That they may not, you can invite them and invite them. They may never come to church, but they'll see you, right? And so we need to pray. And I'm always very careful about this. Listen, we don't save anybody. We don't. The Holy Spirit equips and saves. And it's through their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, it's our job to make the introduction, right? Make the introduction to Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit does the work that he's going to do to bring people to salvation. So that in itself takes a lot of pressure off of that. Because sometimes you feel like, I don't know what to say. And I don't have all these Bible verses memorized, you know. The reality of it is, and let me give you guys just one hint. The most important thing is that you try to bring people to Jesus. You go get them. Right? The word, and we've been saying this a lot, but can you invite somebody? No, you know what? Let's stop inviting. Let's start bringing people. That's different. If you notice, and even when the first disciples were called, they weren't inviting people. Andrew found, he's like, and he went to get his brother, right? Peter, he says, come. And he brought him to Jesus. I found the Messiah. So we just want to practice what we see in the Bible as well. So let me get on with today's sermon, though. You have a fill in the blank, I know. When you come here, it's like, oh, I have to do homework. I have to fill it in. Yeah, a little bit. But you guys know what's the statistic. If you don't write it down, you don't do anything about it, by Tuesday morning, you will have forgotten what this sermon was about. Yes, it's true. That's why we give you handouts. That's why we want you to fill it out. Because some of you guys like to do things. It's easier. And then you can put it on your fridge, a place that you frequent often. I know I do. Right? It's true. Just put it up as a place where you can go back and review the scriptures and what we covered. But the first answer for the fill in the blank for today is, number one, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And we're going to be reading from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, where Paul says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. But we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's awesome. I also like the International Standard Version because verse 10 says, we are God's masterpiece, created in Messiah Jesus to perform good actions that God prepared us long ago to be our way of life. That's a different translation, right? When you think about your life, do you think about yourself like, man, I'm God's masterpiece? Some of you guys do, right? You look in the mirror, you're like, oh, man, that's beautiful. No, I'm kidding. But we don't think of ourselves that way, do we? We're very critical of ourselves. Amen? I'm too short, too round here. I don't have any hair. I'm not articulate enough. Does that resonate with anybody? We don't. Sometimes the world that we live in, right? It creates a lot of, I would say, insecurity. It creates a lot of insecurity. But God is telling us through His Scripture that we are God's masterpiece created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He prepared in advance for us to do. That verse alone should change how we view ourselves. All right, so look at somebody right now who'd you come with? Let's look at them right now. Right? So who'd you come with? The person sitting next to you. And tell them, you're God's masterpiece. No, but say it like you mean it, though. Not like I force you to. One more time. You're God's masterpiece. Joe, you're God's masterpiece. Lily, you're God's masterpiece. Amen? Isn't that, it feels kind of weird a little bit. It does, huh? It feels a little bit weird. But listen, that's how God sees us that way, right? He says, you're valuable. You're important. I see you. You have meaning. In fact, I made you and I have a job for you to do. Doesn't that seem good? Like when somebody says, hey man, I have a job for you, Joey, and you're the only one who can do it. And I made you specifically for this task. You would kind of feel like, yes, God, Jesus, what do you want me to do, right? And that's what we're seeing in the Scriptures today. We have to believe what we see in the Scriptures, guys. Don't believe the lies of the enemy in the world that says, like, you're not smart enough. You're not from this, your background. That's all lies. God has made us and equipped us and He has given us the talents and abilities to accomplish His deeds, to accomplish His works through our life. But we have to believe Him and we have to be obedient to the call. Amen? So we're God's masterpiece. And He created us again intentionally. We're not here by accident. Now, how many of you guys know that I majored in science, right? And they, for 4 years, they taught me that my grandpa was a monkey and that I came from a one single cell amoeba and all that stuff. Science, right? But it's not. That's lies, guys. And the reality of it and why that matters, right, and how you view where you come from is because it ties into your significance and your purpose. Listen, if I'm just here by accident and I'm just here, my life is just whatever, it's not really that important, you can see where we really start to have a really negative image or self-image of ourselves. There's a reason why depression is on the rise, guys. There's a reason why depression and anxiety is what it is. There's a reason why the number one cause of death for young adults between the ages of 15 and 24 is suicide. Because they've been sold a lie that they don't matter, that their life doesn't matter, it's going to be this way always. And that is a lie from the enemy himself. How do we fight that? Through God's word. How do we fight that? Through the church body, how we encourage each other and say, like, listen, you're important. You matter to the kingdom. God loves you and we love you. So, again, we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And He has a unique plan for every one of us to build up the kingdom. But that comes by, number one, recognizing our identity in Christ. Because when you recognize that you were made for a purpose, it really matters how you view yourself. You can also serve with the purpose. This is Paul telling us to say, like, hey, not only did I make you for a purpose, but I gave you something important to do. I've qualified you. I've given you the talents, gifts, and abilities to do that. But it means that we also have to actively participate. Doesn't it feel nice when you're invited to participate? I don't know about you guys, but you guys remember playing like dodgeball when you guys were a kid? Elementary school? And didn't it suck when you were the last one picked? I'm being honest with you, it happened to me like two times, and I was like, I run faster than that guy. You just picked him because he's your friend. Right? It's terrible to feel left out, yeah? Okay, maybe not dodgeballs, but something else. Or your friends go out and they don't even invite you, and you're like, oh, you're checking it on Instagram, you're like, oh, they didn't invite me. How terrible. Doesn't feel good to be left out, right? You get what is that, FOMO, fear of missing out, or fear of being left out? That's a real thing. But here's the thing. Man, those are just creative people, your friends, your family, okay. We'll talk about that later. That's some other emotional damage that we have with our friends and family, that they always do stuff they don't invite us, okay? That's another time. The reality of today's scripture is what? That God is inviting you. The Lord himself invites you to be a part of building his kingdom. And I'll tell you what, nothing is more important, guys. Not your favorite team, not how the Cowboys do today, not how the Bills are going to beat the Jets today, sister. Sorry. More important than our work, right? More important that the laundry gets, or the dishes or the dinner, is that we get invited to build the kingdom of God. Because that has lasting value. Listen, I've told you guys this before. All the things that we worry about, 99% of the things we worry about, in 10 years, I'm being honest with you, are not going to matter. I used to say 100 years, but now I just say 10 years. They're not going to matter. Because think about right now, and there's something, of course, there's catastrophic things that happen in life. But if you think back 10 years ago, what are the things you were worried about 10 years ago? You probably don't even remember what they are. You don't. I mean, of course, if you're a parent, you're going to worry all your life, right? You're on the 25-year plan minimum till you get them out of the house, but I'm kidding. But you worry all your life about the kids, right? But all I'm saying is that, listen, the things that we think are really, really important, at the end of the day, they're not as important as we sometimes make them out to be. And God is inviting us to participate, to be a part of his kingdom, to build it up. And so it's true, guys. I'm just being honest with you guys. God gives us the blueprint of how he wants us to serve. We have to actively participate, and it means that we have to get in the game. And Jesus tells us exactly how to do that. We're going to be switching gears to a different part. Actually, turn your Bibles to Mark 10 if you have them, or you can just follow along on the screen or on your phone. Because Jesus is going to tell us exactly how he wants us to serve. Mark chapter 10, verse 35. And then it goes on. We're going to read all the way through 45. It says, "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." It's pretty bold, right? But Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized with?" "We can," they answered. And Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink, I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those whom they have been prepared." When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Amen. Yeah. This is always a cool story. You guys know that Jesus is moving between towns and they're traveling and the sons of Zebedee, James and John, they come in and say, "Hey, we want to ask you to do something. Whatever we ask you." You already know, like if your kids come up and say, "Hey, mom and dad, I want you to do whatever we ask. Will you do it?" You know, and you're like, "Okay, whatever, right? Something's coming." But Jesus says, okay, what do you want? And they said, we want to sit in the right and the left of you. Because they thought that Jesus was coming in, right, to overthrow the Roman rule and occupation. He was going to be the new king. And so they wanted to have positions of power and authority. Jesus says, can you drink from the cup that I'm going to be drinking? And can you baptize with the baptism? And he says, yes, we can. We can, of course. They have no idea. Jesus was referring to the going to the cross. And he did say, you will. But it wasn't for him to give that position. See, when we talk about serving and what Jesus is setting the stage for us is how we, when we think about serving, do you think that it's a position of authority or somebody that is someone that it's a lower in position? What do you guys think? You think automatically think lower, right? Maybe in the world it does, right? In the world it does. And so Jesus is saying, hey, he even says the rulers and the Gentiles, they rule it over, they lord over these people. But he says, not so with you. You, right? If you want to become great, then you need to become a servant. If you want to become great, you need to become a servant. Because he says, even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now that sets the stage for how we're called and what our purpose is and how we're called to do our work in the church. Now, how many of you guys have some really good bosses that they have like a servant leadership style where they see you, is there something I can get? Do you have everything you need to do your job? How can I help you? Or do you have a boss that says, hey, why didn't you do this, this, and this, and that? Or we had a problem over here. What happened here? Which one resonates more? Which one is more true in your life? Your boss checks in and tells you, do you have everything you need? Is there anything I could do for you? Okay, one person. The rest of you guys have the bosses. Two of you guys have it. Does that make sense? Where your boss comes in is like, hey, you're late here. What happened here? You got to do this, this, and that. You messed up. What happened? I'm writing you up. Makes it sound familiar? It's not natural. But Jesus is asking us and he's telling us that true leadership comes from serving. And he redefines leadership and greatness. Because in the world, greatness is about what? About power, guys. It's about being in control. Or the thought of being in control and position. But in the kingdom of God, true greatness comes through humble service. And to follow Christ means that what? That we have to put other people first. And that's hard to do. Because what does the culture teach you? The culture teaches you what? I love me some me, and I'm always on my mind. And I come first. We should make those shirts. That's going to be a slogan. The world says. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, listen, if you want to be great, you need to become a servant to all. Now think about it. This is Jesus himself speaking. What did he come to do? Right? He's part of the Trinity. He came down and took humanly form. That we could be. He walked among people. He had an earthly ministry. And he allowed himself to be nailed to the cross as a service to all of us. In fact, he tells us that in Mark 10:45. He says, the Son of Man has come not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So if we call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, that means something. See, we don't want to be, we've seen it a lot too, guys. We've seen it in churches or different places where people are like, it's a power trip and the religious structure is a power trip and I'm in this position and you have to respect me and all that kind of stuff. Listen, Jesus is Jesus. He's the Lord. We're all part of building up his kingdom. We want to be very careful about that. Jesus talked very harshly against some of the religious leaders. In fact, his harshest words were to the religious leaders who said, man, you guys are like a brood of vipers. You know all about God, but you don't know God. And so we have to be very careful. It's not about us. This is one of our taglines at this church. And we say it whenever we start seeing somebody start to get up all up in their emotions and all up in their feelings. Stephen, what do we say? It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. Whenever we start, because listen, wherever to be around people, guess what? You're going to have different points of view. You're going to have some conflict. you're going to have disagreements, you're going to have different... Listen, when we have our eyes fixed on Jesus and what he's called us to do, it just levels the playing field, and we give ourselves a lot of grace. So we say that a lot around here. It's not about you. And not in a negative way, in a loving way, right? Like say, I'll tell Stephen, it's not about you, bro. See? And he smiles. Now his wife is going to use that from here on out. Because ultimately what Jesus is asking us to do in Mark chapter 10 is that we need to sacrifice above seeking status. Sacrifice above seeking status. And he gives us the ultimate example. He lived it up. He wasn't just talking. Jesus wasn't a hypocrite. He was talking truth. That's why Jesus is awesome. Obviously, he's our Lord and Savior, but he role modeled that. And we're to follow along. If we're Christ-like, we're called to be imitators of Jesus. I mean, that means that we're selfless. That means that we lead with humility and love. And when we serve others, we really, I say, reflect the heart of Jesus. And without like wanting to get something, you know, have you ever been around people where you know that they're only doing something and they're being nice to you because they want something? Right? It's like, oh, and you're already like, you're the Holy Spirit saying, alert, alert, alert. Right? Because they have a hidden agenda. Listen, we're called to serve without an agenda. We're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus and to find our purpose that way. Because when you serve like that, I mean this, the blessing of you building the kingdom, you're doing God's work, but you get to be a part of his team. You're invited to be a part of his team to see him move and act and see him transform somebody's life. And that's amazing. And so when we're serving, we're actually the ones that get blessed. Your life is not about you, it's about God. We were made to serve, to be a part of his kingdom work. And I mean, life would be a lot differently, right? Even our own lives. If we stop thinking about the title, the same way that the disciples were the two disciples that asked were thinking about the title itself. I want to be in that position. If we stop thinking about the title and we just served, if we just served, the same way that Jesus did. How about when if you got into an argument with your spouse and kids on both sides, you just start serving. You think that would make it a lot easier? But what happens when real conflict happens? What do we get? Do we have the heart of Jesus? No, we don't. We're like, man, I'm not going to talk to you. I don't want to talk to you anyway. Right? Suddenly the neck starts doing that. I don't even know how. It's like because the hand starts going a little bit, maybe. That's not the heart of Jesus, right? It would be a lot different if we had a heart to serve, even in the middle of the trials. If we truly served at work, if we served our family, without expecting something in return, we'd be modeling Jesus' action more closely. Number three, in your handout this morning. Did I give you guys a number two? I did. Number three, authentic service comes from knowing who we are in Christ and modeling his love, humility, and generosity. Authentic service comes from knowing who we are in Christ and modeling his love, humility, and generosity. We're going to read from the book of John there for that section. And we're going to be in John 13. John 13, verses 1 through 17. It says, it was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave the world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were here in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God, and he was returning. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those of you who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothing and clothes and returned his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example for you to do. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Amen. This is an amazing act. This is an object lesson that Jesus gives us. It's amazing. I don't know if you think about that. That he is a teacher and Lord. And he decides as a meal is happening that he's going to wash the disciples' feet. Now, think about the context about what we're reading. They didn't have shoes or boots. They wore what? Sandals. Chanclas, yeah. I don't know if it's like the Mexican ones with the Goodyear tire, I don't know. But if you're walking up and down the street from town to town, do you think your feet would be clean? Probably not. They'd be really dusty, right? So it was common when you went in, the culture at the time, it was very common that when somebody came into your home, actually the servant, it was usually a slave girl, that would actually wash people's feet. I don't know if you guys knew that. So when Jesus is doing this, he's giving them a very clear example to say, listen, I'm your Lord and Savior, and I'm doing this out of humility. So because here's why. What happens when we get full of ourselves? Our pride gets in the way, and we don't have humility, and we say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to humble myself. And Jesus is saying, listen, I am the God-man. I am Lord and teacher, and I'm going to do something for you to teach you an object lesson, what it means for me, right, to serve in humility. And he challenges them to say, now that you've seen me do this, you need to do this for each other. Now, I didn't say physically, but can we do it metaphorically in life? Can we get off of our position and title and say, you know what, I'm going to serve without wanting anything back, the same way that Jesus served and did that. So for this part of the message, I'm going to ask JD to come up. JD's going to, he's going to be Peter, right? Because it's important that you see it. Oftentimes when we do the message, you can't really visualize what it means, right? You don't visualize what it means. This is just me. I'm not Jesus, by the way. Take off your slippers. I'll take them off if you want. We do have a brand new bar of soap, by the way. So you know. After we're done, his feet are going to be extra smooth. All right? We were telling him he should go outside and then play in the mud and stuff, but then it would make a big mess. No, he can't. See, what Jesus is doing is an object lesson is to say, like, listen. So JD is my nephew, so it doesn't feel awkward. I've done this before. But here's the thing is that, listen, it's not about us. It's not about our pride, right? I'm not Jesus. But think about the people that you are in your family. Think about people that you need to be serving just the way that Christ did. You need to serve them and bring them. You need to serve and you need to pray for them. You need to serve them because they need your help, right? So I'm going to put your feet in the tub, JD. And I actually, last time I used cold water. This time I actually got warm water. But what Jesus does, right, and he's humbling himself, right? And I want you to picture yourself that this is JD, but I want you to imagine that you're sitting in his seat right now and that the Lord himself comes and takes off his outer garment, puts it around his waist, and that he comes and he says, listen, man, I know that you have a different concept of what it means about how God is about this religion and who it is, but Jesus comes to serve, that Jesus loves you enough to say, listen, All of your sin debt, all of that, I'm going to take that on from you, okay? I'm God, but I love you like that. And so he's going to take, and I'm taking this soap, lift it up a little bit, help me out. And I'm going to wash his feet. He doesn't have a lot of calluses like I do. And he's going to laugh when I get into his in between his toes. But we want to do a good job, because Jesus didn't come just to wash away with the super filth, the superficial filth in our life. He came to do away with the darkest parts, the sin that we think that nobody knows about, the filth that keeps us apart from God, right? So Jesus is giving us an object lesson to say, listen, man, you don't understand what I'm doing for you, but the same way that I'm humbling myself, right, to serve you, hey, pop your toe, is the same way that you're going to be loving your brothers and sisters in the church body. Because it matters, right? And it's not about me. It's about what I'm doing for you. And when you truly comprehend it, that the Lord himself comes down to serve in this capacity, it changes how we do service. That the Lord and God himself came on into humanly form for the forgiveness of our sins, that our sins can be washed clean. And then not to be full of ourselves and of our pride and of our ego and all the other things, but that we can serve in the same way that Jesus did, it changes how we live our life. It changes how we approach the tasks he has for us. That no task is so meaningful or not important. It is. God has called every one of us for a meaning and a purpose that only we can accomplish, right? And he does this for us. He says, do it in humility. Serve each other the way that I serve you. Love the way that I love you. Because here's what? Serving the body, it's not about us. It's not about me. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about what Jesus wants to do through us. And you're invited to be a part of it. All right. Good for that. I'll rinse it off one more time. Now, some of you guys don't like toes. So you're like, oh, I would never do that. Right? You would never do that. But Jesus himself, I want you to picture that Jesus himself comes in and says, like, look at all the filth on your head. I don't care. I love you. I don't care. I'm going to do this for you. This is not about me. Right? This is about doing what, in fact, he himself says, I only do what the Father tells me to do. Right? Now, if anybody had a reason to say, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to the cross, I'm not going to die for these filthy sinners, it would have been Jesus. But he didn't. He submitted himself to the will of the Father that we might be saved, that we might have a way back to the Father. And that changes everything, guys. Look at that. Even smells good. All right, go ahead. Do you see what that is? And so maybe instead of, go ahead, JD. Maybe when we're arguing with somebody, maybe when we have a disagreement, maybe we're not seeing eye to eye, we say, you know what? Jesus humbles himself to wash my feet. Jesus humbled himself to die a sinner's death for the forgiveness of my sins. Can I forgive the person that has wronged me? Can I forgive this person and my family? Can I serve the way that Jesus wants me to serve? And I'll tell you, when you do it that way, man, it changes everything, guys. It changes how we view our purpose, our work, and the task that God has for us. Because outside of that, the challenge of the message today is, hey, how can I make the most of my life? I'll tell you what, it's by serving Jesus Christ. It's by doing your part to build up the kingdom and the mission that he has for every single one of us. We all need to be part of the kingdom. Because guess what? It's not about this church. It's about Jesus. It's about what he does for us. Thank you, JD. Go ahead. And so what would life look like for us if there was some more feet washing going on? I think it would look a lot differently. I think there certainly would be more peace and harmony in the home, for sure. You can humble yourself and allow yourself. And the other part too is you got to allow Jesus to come in. Peter was saying, you'll never wash my feet. He probably is all dirty and calluses and stuff. But there's a real interesting dynamic there that Jesus says, if you don't allow me to do this for you, you can have nothing to do with me. He's saying, hey, you got to get right with me first. You got to get right with me. You got to bring your dirty feet, your filth, your sin, whatever's causing, you got to be real with God and allow him to wipe it clean. Allow him to do what he's going to do. Jesus has already paid the cross, paid for our debt on the cross. We have to be honest with him. Now, Peter's response is awesome, right? He says, well, not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well. We have to be real, guys, with Jesus. He already knows it, but we have to come to him and allow him, right, to do what he's going to do. And so he calls for us to follow his example and his lead. That we can serve from a place of identity and a place of love because we're called children of God through faith in Jesus. That we can lead with humility and action. And it's essential to serve other people. We should be willing to do even the lowliest tasks without expecting anything in return. Jesus washed the disciples' feet, teaches us that it's not an act of, that no act of service is beneath us. In God's kingdom, humility is the greatest. We have to serve with the right motives, to desire and to model the heart of God. And when we serve, we have to check our hearts. You got to check your ego at the door. It's not about you. Jesus showed us exactly how to do that. And so even those of you that are serving right now, I have to say, are you serving because you want to get a position? You think that it's going to lead to something else? Or are we serving out of an abundance and an overflow of our relationship with God, our relationship with Jesus? That's where it's at. The other thing that we learn from this object lesson is true leadership is in serving other people. Whether it's in the church or your family or workplace, real leadership means being willing to serve those around you the same way that Jesus demonstrated servant leadership. And lastly, we're followers of Christ, guys. We're called to serve others with a heart that's motivated out of love and humility, just the same way that Jesus served us. When we know who we are in Christ, listen to me well. When we know who we are in Christ, when we accept that invitation, and we know that we're children of God, and we know that we're made for a bigger purpose, and we're not worried about what this person's going to say or who's going to see me or whatever, that your name is written in the book of life. Guys, who cares what people think or say, your position or title? None of that matters. None of it matters. Take ownership in the identity of who we have to be invited to be children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. When we serve others with the heart of Jesus, our motives are driven of love and humility, not personal gain. True service reflects the character of Christ, leading others to experience God's grace through our actions. Jesus gave his life for us as the ultimate act of service, and we serve just out of an overflow for what he's done. You're going to hear me say this a lot. The honor and the glory of what we do as a church body doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the Father. It belongs to Jesus. It belongs to the Holy Spirit. And that's why we serve. So when we say the invitation out here, I've said this before. You're going to hear me say it again. Man, when you get invited to serve, you're invited to be a part of Team Jesus, the winning team. Not the team Bengals or Bills that never win the Super Bowl. The winning team of Jesus. What a blessing. What else is there, guys? And we serve not because we want something in return. We serve out of overflow of what Jesus has done for us. And that changes everything. Not because we want something. I say this the same way. Even when we collect our tithing and offering, I don't think we talked about it today. We always say, listen, when you tithe, it's not because the church needs your money, because God needs your money. We need to fund the ministry. But I say this, you get to participate in God in building his kingdom. That's it. When we tithe, it's for us, right? When you serve, it's for us. We get to be a part of building his kingdom. What else is more important? So you have the opportunity to be invited. And then when you're walking in, if God is the creator, which he is, if God is sovereign, which he is, if God is omnipotent, which he is, do you think that he's just going to randomly put you in a place and say, you figure it out? No. He's saying, I've gifted you with talents, gifts, and abilities that only you can bring to fruition for the kingdom. Man, that should change how we view ourselves. And that should change the call. Half the time, folks are saying, I don't know. Particularly if you're young, you're like, I'm not sure what I'm called to do. I don't know what career. The number one question that people ask you is, what do you do for a living? Or where do you live? Which are questions, if you really ask and look at what those questions are about, there are questions about position, rank, and money. What do you do for a living and where do you live? Yeah, if we're honest. Then the person gauges how much, if we're honest, how much importance should I give this conversation right now? I'm being serious. But when Jesus says, I made you for a purpose, I created you, I knitted you before you were born in the inmost parts of your mom and in her womb for a purpose to do a work and a task that only you can achieve. And I'm bringing you into the fold and I'm inviting you into the eternal resting place as well. You know, when we talk about going to be with the Father, where Jesus says, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And in my Father's house, there's many rooms. Man, don't you want to be a part of that? I know I do. And when you're walking in the fullness of what God made you to be, man, there is nothing better. It doesn't matter about your job. It doesn't matter. And I'm not saying dismiss and everybody's like, Pastor said I quit my job on Monday morning. I didn't say that. Don't be calling me and say, like, you're going to pay my bills? And I got my own bills to pay. No, but God is saying, we're inviting you to do that. And you can be the salt and the light and serve people where you work, where you play, where you do things. Be the salt and the light. God, use your God-given talents and abilities. Yes, we always say, hey, come help us build the kingdom. Be a part of the church. Great. But the church exists outside of there. The ministry is, mission field is out there. Right? So, how do you make the most of your life? Serve the way that Jesus did. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of your son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for the amazing example that you've given us, Lord God. The object lesson that you've given us, Lord, in watching the disciples' feet. The words that you gave us in Mark to tell us that the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And ultimately, you were even talking about your death on the cross. You came to serve humanity, Lord God. While we were your enemies, while we were still sinners, you came, Lord God, because you love us. So, Lord God, help us to remember that. Help us to be connected to you, Lord God. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you are moving and prompting, Lord God, that you are doing what you're doing because you're inviting people to be a part of building up your kingdom. Holy Spirit, will you continue, Lord God, just to work, Lord God, in the lives and in the hearts of your church body here today, that we can know, Lord God, that you've called us for a purpose, an eternal purpose, Lord God. That you invite us to be a part of your team to share the good news of who you are, to be hands and your feet. But it is not your desire that anybody should perish, Lord God, apart from you. But it is your desire that we would choose life, that we would choose you, Lord Jesus, and that everybody's name would be written in the book of life. So thank you, Lord God, for the invitation. Thank you for the example. Thank you for loving us enough, Lord God, to die a shameful death. A sinner's death, a criminal's death for the forgiveness of our sins. If you're hearing this message today and you've never given your life to Jesus, you're going to have a hard time comprehending what it means to love and to act in humility and service if you've never given your life to Jesus. If throughout this message the Holy Spirit has been prompting you and calling you and say, I need to know more about who this Jesus is, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to say, number one, come see me after service. And number two, we give you the opportunity. And I know sometimes people say, like, oh, I'm not sure what that looks like. Listen, if the Holy Spirit is prompting you, you need to invite Jesus in. There's nothing more important than the gift of salvation. If that's you this morning, I want you to follow along in this prayer. Jesus, I'm asking you to be Lord of my life this morning. Well, I need to be forgiven of my sins. I'm coming for you, and I know that you died for my forgiveness, but I'm ashamed. I'm sick and tired. I've been living this way. I've been apart from you, Lord God. And so I'm going to come with you with all of my sin dead and everything that's broken in my life, Lord God, and I want you to make it clean, Lord Jesus. Just by the same way that you washed the disciples' feet, will you make me clean? Will you renew my life and restore me, Lord, back to you? I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died and you resurrected and you're seated at the right hand of the Father. And help me to live for you from this day forward, Lord Jesus. Will you surround me with people that care about me, to encourage me in my walk, to learn more about who you are, and to be connected with your word and be filled with the Holy Spirit? If you prayed that prayer in earnest this morning, I'm going to ask you guys to raise your hands. And for the rest of us, I pray that we would just take today's message and service, Lord God, and that we really look to apply it. Lord Jesus, would you help us to be humble like you? Would you help us to have a servant's heart to lead and just to do our part to identify what are the gifts, talents that you've given us, and the spiritual gifts, Lord God, that you want them to be used for your honor, for your glory, Lord God. Your word has told us that when we're faithful with a little bit, you can trust us with much. But it takes an act of faith and obedience to take a step forward to say, I'm here, Lord Jesus, what do you want me to do? Have your way with my life. Have your way with whatever you want me to do. Have your way with my time, my talents, my possession. Let it all be for you, Lord Jesus. And help me to be a part of building up your kingdom, because nothing else matters. And help me to be about your business. Help me to be about the Father's business. Help me to be obedient to the call of the Holy Spirit in my life. Help me to get away with this insecurity that I have in my life. Lord Jesus, will you continue to minister to our hearts, Lord God? To live is a struggle. So there's some of us in here that are going through some tough times, some pain, some heartache. It could be health issues, could be financial issues, Lord God. Will you meet us at our need? Not because we want anything from you, because you're a good God, Lord. Lord, you're going to get us through it. We know that even in the darkest valleys, you are there with us, Lord God. You see us, you know us, you walk us through us. You give us the strength to persevere, Lord, through the challenges. Thank you, Lord God, again for meeting us where we are this morning. And continue to just watch over us, guide us, and bless us. Keep us away from temptation, Lord God. Give us continued victory over the enemy. And help us again, Lord God, just to really focus on this word. How you want us to love, how you want us to be humble, and how you want us to serve. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.